Coming up on TMS, surgery in 10 hours or less, or the crusty bread is free.
Don't dink with pants when a girl is waiting.
You can lead a nerd to Firefly, but you can't make them wash.
3 stories tall, 8 feet wide.
Chaley Cho-Cho.
That's Kaylee Coco for Cuckoo Puffs.
Poo as big as a Volkswagen.
Teacup rat dog.
Too close to the penis face.
As thick as a trailer.
Rhymer whiner.
Who didn't shoot JR?
Edith, ask your grandparents.
Bill Duran, still tacky after 10 years.
Comic reviews and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Now relive the magical adventures of the movie Willow with these amazing characters that bring the story to life. There's the heroic swordsman Matt Mardigan.
I'll win this war for you.
The evil sorceress Bav Morda. The dreaded General Kane.
I'll crush the rebels.
And brave Willow himself. The epic battles, good versus evil. You can bring the magic of Willow home with collectible figures, vehicles, and accessories, each sold separately. Willow, the magic lies within.
Colonel, can I have another piece of your chicken, please?
This is the Morning Stream, and this is my boomstick.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It is Monday, January 18th, 2021. Scott Johnson here, Brian Ibbett there. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Scott. Welcome to a brand new week.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
Ooh, it's a little happy Martin Luther King Day, or Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Happy DMLKJ Day.
Right. Have we added the D? Have we put the D in there? Is that what we've done?
I thought we should put the D in there.
Oh, let's put the D in there.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., yeah. So DMLKJ.
That's right. Let's give him proper prompts. Yeah, happy MLK Day. I guess everybody who has that off, congratulations. You have a day off. For those of us who never take any time off, welcome to our world, and glad to have you here. Probably have a few extra in the chat today because some of those people
are in the office. A lot of people are off who wouldn't normally be off, although in pandemic times, who could tell? Like, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that doesn't change. The people who would normally be off today are working from home normally anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm sure there's some of that. And there's probably some who they were flipped the other way. Like, I remember there were some names we'd see all the time, like pre-last March, that then went away in March, and we haven't seen them since, but we still hear from them in emails and stuff. So I don't know if the kind of work they do changed, or they got new jobs, or they changed their location, or what they did. But we miss them and wish they were here live.
That's right.
Hey, we got a lot to do today. It's a Monday. It's a whole new week. Quick note, I just wanted to thank everybody last week for all the well wishes for my mom. She had her brain surgery on Friday, and everything went according to plan. It went a little longer, but it was only because there's a lot of veins in your head, Brian. And until you get in there, you don't know where those vessels are. You don't know where where all those are kind of at.
It's not like IKEA instructions. They can be anywhere. They don't follow the same path, and it takes more than one person to put it together.
Exactly that. So best case scenario, you get in there and go, oh, okay, everything's neatly off to the side, and we just remove this tumor, and we're good. But she had kind of a nest in there, so they had to deal with that. But they thought they were only going to get about 70% of the tumor, and they got 100%. They got all of it. So that was good. That's kind of a shock, actually, because this sort of situation is rare that you can get the entire thing. But they never had to cut into her brain. It was only just mushing up against it, about the size of an orange. They got the entire thing out, non-cancerous.
So didn't have to worry about margins.
Nope. None of that. Good. None of the margin stuff. That's the word I was looking for the other day.
Yeah.
Margins. Couldn't think of it. Anyway, they got that, and then they sewed her up. And so other than going about 2 hours longer in the surgery than they planned, everything went well. She's getting better every day. I mean, I can't see her is the problem. Nobody can go see her.
Yeah.
So we can't get any kind of physical confirmation of any of this. But all signs point to the idea anyway that an 82-year-old just killed it. She did great.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, if they take longer, because it took like 2 hours longer, after they go over a certain time that they promised, is the surgery free?
Yeah, it's 10 hours or less, or your surgery is free.
Good.
Yeah, they bring it right. They bring
free and free crusty bread.
Yeah, That's right. Ooh, crusty bread. That sounds good, whatever that even is.
I don't even know what that is. Like, usually cheesy bread or garlic bread. I don't want crusty bread. I think that's just like a baguette is crusty bread.
Crusty bread sounds great. I've been trying to eat less bread, so all bread types make me
Hungry. Bread is the bread's a killer, man. Flour, mm-hmm. sugar. You avoid white powders and cocaine, and you'll lose weight.
That's right. This is all true. Hey, check this out. So I'm not going to tell you about my dream today, but I had another dream that was very vivid, and I remember it entirely.
Okay. So you're going to Johnson a brain? You're going to pull a Johnson or a dream?
I'm going to Johnson a brain.
Johnson a brain. You're going to pull a Johnson with a dream? I still have brain on the brain.
here's the quick version of it. For some reason, Kim's brother, Richard, and I were in a car, and he had two girls there. And one he was going on a date with, and the other one he was just dropping off somewhere. But then while we were all in the car, he says, "Hey, Scott, do you want a double date? You want to go out with this girl?"
Scott the wingman. Yeah. Right?
And neither of these girls were our wives. And we also, this seemed like it may have been high school time, which is also weird because he's like 10 years younger than me. But anyway, I said, "Yes, but let me go." For some reason, this is my statement. I said, "Sure, but let me go put some sweats on." So I ran in the house, and in this house, it was like a big, weird...
Really, really trying to make a good impression, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. It's really weird. So I run into this house that is supposedly my house, but it's nothing like a house I ever grew up in.
Yeah.
Imagine a mansion in height, and if you looked at the front, it looked like a giant mansion, but it was only as thick as about a trailer. So three stories tall, big, huge, white front, beautiful
three stories
pillars.
Tall, 8 feet wide.
Yeah, kind of
deep.
That's exactly what it was. And it just had these stairs leading up, and it was just a really smushed space. And my mom was there, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to go on this date." She goes, "Okay, be home on time or whatever." And I ran around looking for sweats, but then I decided that's a bad thing to wear on a date. Like, what is this about? Why would I wear sweats? So I started looking for the right pants, and then I would like look at these pants in the mirror and go, "No, I need different pants." And it was like I was trapped in somebody's idiot body, and I was trying to say, "Hurry up, there's a girl waiting in the car outside for your date, and you're in here dinking around with pants." But my dream self wouldn't listen, and I just kept trying new clothes and trying new clothes. And at one point, Richard texts me, that's Kim's brother, and says, "Hey, where you at? We're out here still." I'm like, "Oh, I'm coming. I got a little delayed. Just give me a second." And then hung up. And then like another 2 hours I spend doing it. Like it was representing like
that's
four
crazy.
Or 5 hours. It's so weird. I was like delaying it. And at one point I was ready to go finally and then realized I left my phone somewhere and I had to go find my phone. So I'm looking for my phone everywhere.
Now that sounds accurate though.
Well, it sounds dead on. It sounds like exactly what I would do. So I go to try to find my phone. I finally find my phone. I text Richard. I say, "Okay, I'm finally coming." He goes, "I left a long time ago, but she's still out there waiting." He says in the text.
Oh, man. So
I went, "Oh, okay, cool." So I went to run out to get it, grabbed the door, and went, "Shoot, I'm not wearing shoes." So I went back upstairs, dug through a bunch of shoes. It took forever. Finally got the shoes on that I was going to wear, ran outside of the front door, opened it up, and I see a red car with this girl. She's got her hands in her face in her hands crying. And there's a guy driving the thing that looks all pissed. And right at that moment, he floors it and takes off.
Her husband came to pick her up. The date's over.
Yeah. And I just sat there going, "Oh, man, this is weird." And the other thing I noticed right before I woke up was outside, if you looked at it from the view of my porch of my weird 8 feet wide or 8 feet thick house.
Your weird facade house.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know how to explain this. You know how in like Chicago, when you're in the city and you're near one of the L train stuff, you know, like the elevated trains everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a feeling, it's almost like cavernous under some of that because it's just like overhead and all of that.
Like the chase scene from Marathon, was it Marathon Man? It was one of those 70s cop thriller movies where they do a chase scene under those elevated train things. So it's like that. I know what you're talking about. The cavernous.
Yeah. It just feels like you're inside of almost like, I don't know. It's just kind of futuristic and weird. That's how
French Connection. Thank you. That's the one.
Oh,
I'm
French Connection. Yeah. One of the greatest car chases of all time.
Yeah.
Anyway, in there, the entrance of the house, it's like this beautiful neighborhood out in front of me, but as you panned over, it immediately became like that, like the middle of grimy downtown Chicago. And I don't know why that was
one
happening.
One of those mansions right next to the L. One of those 8 feet thick mansions.
It was really odd. So I don't know what to make of it. This is one I'm not even going to ask for, you know. I mean, who knows? My mom was in it, so maybe I'm thinking about my mom. Everything was really, I mean, this is one of the most vivid where all the details are still very plain to me. I can still feel like I'm in there.
That's
really
crazy.
Weird. Yeah. I took a Benadryl before I went to bed. Maybe that was it.
There you go.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
So I'm getting some kind of weird rash, and I thought, you know what? Benadryl, that'll do it. But then it gave me dreams. Mm-hmm. So good stuff. Good stuff. hey, also, we went to a dog park yesterday.
Okay. Fun.
Yeah.
Fun for the dogs anyway.
Oh, sure. And it's a great big dog park. It's next to a shelter, and then the shelter has all this acreage of dog runs. It's great. I don't know how they did this, but they have just tons of space. But turns out on a Sunday afternoon, that gets really busy. There's a lot of people there. And everyone's masked up except for a couple of dummies. And they kept looking at everybody like we were the problem. But anyway, whatever. They were there. Dogs were there. And they have one area where all the big dogs go. So if you got yourself a Rhymer Whiner or a
Gentleman Rhymer Whiner.
Right. Yes. What are those big horse dogs?
Mastiffs or...
What's the one, though? It's specific...
Like Marmaduke. Great Dane.
Yes.
Great Dane.
Yeah. So there's big Great Danes in there, and those are the sweetest dogs ever, by the way. Just love Great Danes.
They are, yeah.
They poo as big as a Volkswagen, but they're nice. Anyway, so this place is just full of giant dogs, and then there's another little run where they put the kind of medium-sized dogs, little, you know, little shepherdy-looking dogs and that kind of stuff, and then they got a third area where you would take your small dogs, whatever those might be. So Shih Tzus and whatever. And
nervous ones.
The big dogs are, it's mostly what the park is. It's a lot of big dogs. And they're all in there playing and stuff. And we have 2 hour dogs with us and they're having a blast. They love this. Just love it. It's like they're with their kind. They're having a ball. All is well. And then this lady walks up and she has in her hand something. We can't see what it is. I thought it was a purse. But she kind of had it to the side like this. And she walked into the big dog area, and I'm like, I wonder what she's doing. That's weird. And then she proceeds to put down what I can only describe, at least in comparison to these other dogs. It looked like a guinea pig. But it was a freaking it's a little teacup little rat dog. I don't know what they're called.
Really? Yeah. But that small.
That tiny little, one of those little itty-bitty, little freaking tiny dogs that you can fit in your purse. Yeah. And she sticks it right there in the big giant dog kennel. And I went, well, they're just going to eat that. They're just going to eat
it. No kidding. They like, yeah, it's going to, it's either going to get trod on or eaten by another dog.
Yes. And chat, it was a Yorkshire Terrier. That's the breed. Anyway, so she puts it in there. And to my amazement, all the other big dogs were curious about it. And they all circled around it and sniffed at it. But this dog just walked in like it was living life. Like just, hey, everybody, this is my town. What are you doing here where I live? This is where I go. It was one of the weirdest dog interactions I've ever seen. I thought that thing would be like sniveling in a corner or barking like crazy, or the other big dogs would be like chasing it or stomping on it or running it over by accident. No, it was like a little mobster. They all avoided him. It was cool, man. It was something. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. So take your dogs on a run is what I'm saying. That's the message.
Yeah. But maybe watch out. Put them with the other same size dogs just to be safe.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I mean, whatever. She seemed to know that this was going to be fine. But she also had a mask that had penises on the face. Penises.
Oh, yeah. We saw that. Like,
didn't Nicole make some?
But you don't know their penises until you get up close and see them, right? It's that one?
Yeah, which is the whole idea, right? If you're too close to me, that means you can see these penises.
Right, exactly. It's like penises, you're too close. Yeah. Penises, social distancing.
Yeah, I guess I got a little too close to the penis face, but...
that's true, good point. You saw their penises, so there you go. You kind of blew that.
I was wearing my glasses. I want to thank Sean Dickinson who sent an email in to make a quick clarification. We talked about those gift cards and that lawsuit for that $1.75 or whatever that guy was doing. For the Starbucks coffee thing.
Yeah.
He says, here's a clarification on how California gift card law is weird. Okay, so the specific to California gift card law, which apparently is different than everywhere else. Says, hey there, Scott. As a California retail worker, I want to let you know that the guy in your Starbucks story is actually in the right in regard to the law, but is being very stupid about the amount of damages. In California, all retailers have to offer, have to offer to cash out a gift card under $10. So this is, so sounds like they were in the wrong to do this anyway. So
no
the
kidding. Only
so the caveat is that the gift card has to be for a cash amount and not a specific meal or product or service. But here in California, we do have to pay out the dumb $1.47, and the Starbucks employee was probably not trained on this and therefore refused. Still a douchebag, but even a douchebag can be right once in a while. Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
That's weird. You got your own state law for something like gift card payouts. That's crazy. That's nuts to me. I assume that's not true here, though. Like,
I don't know. I don't know if it is. If it's, but I do like the caveat about it being, you know. So you, if you've got a gift card that says one free entree, you can't take it to Burger King and say, give me the cash equivalent of a Whopper. But if it's a Burger King gift card that's for $5, then you can. Get the cash from it.
And I don't have a problem with that, because if you think about it, you've just given them money to have in the bank and earn interest anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just you're just like a bank. You're just taking your money out.
Right. Right.
But to sue over $1.75 just seemed a little insane.
It does seem a little crazy. And just as a little reminder, if you go to a restaurant, especially right now, and you've got a gift certificate, or a gift card.
Yeah.
Make sure you tip your wait staff on top of that, because sometimes in those cases, they don't get the cash from that. We were talking over trivia the other night about, cause we were using a gift voucher that we had won the previous time, like last year. Mm. And, it almost just about covered our meal. But we had to make sure, well, let's tip. We obviously have to tip on the full amount, and we can't tip using the gift certificate. You tip on top of the gift certificate.
Right. So if you get a $20 gift certificate to Freddy's and you spend that $20 on food,
right,
and there's an extra $5 on the card or whatever, you don't get to count that as your tip. They won't. They can't count it as that.
They can't. No. This came up because a friend of one of our trivia people said, tried to do this at a pizza place. Like, basically, he paid for the pizza outright and then gave the gift certificate as a tip to the, it was like a $10 gift certificate, gave that to the waiter. And my friend is like, no, you can't really do that, because it's not like they can just cash that for $10.
Right.
The only thing they could do is wait for somebody else to spend $10 on a meal and then swap out the $10 for that gift certificate. So
yeah, which is work. That's a lot of extra work when you shouldn't be just a cheap bastard and give them a tip in the first place. Lame.
Exactly.
Lame. So, all right. Good etiquette message there.
Don't be cheap.
Don't be cheap.
Basically, and Brian Dunaway hits the nail on the head with don't be cheap.
Yeah, don't be cheap. Unless you're a bird, then cheap all you want.
Exactly. You don't have to tip on alcohol.
So we asked the chat room before today's show started if they had a preference this weekend for our 10th anniversary play date, because we're celebrating 10 years of TMS this coming weekend. And then a vast amount of people have said Saturday based on those responses. So it's looking very much like... I mean, it's hard. The problem with FilmSack is sometimes it goes long, so it's hard to pick an exact time. But let's say... Yeah.
I mean, if we, you know what, because we'll want some time in between. Why don't we say 12 noon Mountain Time Saturday to start?
Yeah.
And that way we've got time to, you know, shove a piece of bacon in our faces before we come back.
Aim for the mouth if you can.
Aim for the mouth.
Yeah.
Shove a piece
Always
of bacon.
Aim for the mouth. If
that
you
was
can.
Purely for Zoe. So.
Yeah, we'll... For sure. Like, okay, that's it. So Saturday, noon Mountain Time. That's 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2
p.m. Eastern.
I'd do the math.
I can't really figure out what Central would be, but...
we don't know. It's somewhere
between
there.
You can do the math based on those other two.
Sure.
And so, who knows what the hell's going on in Arizona, so...
Yeah, and we'll invite some other TMS regulars and stuff, see who maybe wants to be there or doesn't or whatever. It may not be everybody, but... Anyway, chance to play with us and hang out. We'll probably keep it real super open since it's, you know, so we're celebrating 10 years of the show. I don't think we have to be too picky about patrons and stuff.
No, we'll relax the patron rule this time around, and we'll also make sure to spread the guests around so that we don't basically take up all the slots with all TMS people and no listeners getting to play.
That's right. So come have a nooner with us. That's noon this weekend.
A little afternoon delight.
Uh-huh. Deet, 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 deet. That song was about doing it, right?
Yeah, it was totally about doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd always heard that, but it was about doing it
when there's actual daylight so you can see what you're doing. Like, if you look at the lyrics, it's really? A really goofy thing.
It's weird.
Yeah. Okay.
The 70s were weird, man.
70s were really weird.
Yeah, what a weird time. All right. So that's all that. Let's get into Battle Royale today. Now, Dunaway apparently is going to send us video, so this is going to be a treat. Hold on a second here. Let's get him in here. Oh, that means he's going to sound really good, too, because he's on his home stuff.
Right.
I like that. I like the sound of that. Also, you're welcome to call in 801-471-0462 and be a part of today's ridiculousness. And we're going to start with this. Yeah, that's right. Playing a little Battle Royale or some version thereof happening right now with you and us and Brian Dunaway, who is now on camera.
What are you wearing?
He's got
rabbit ears. What am I
wearing?
Right now he's spinning.
Where are my rabbit ears?
Oh, look at that.
I don't have a set of these?
I don't see you for some reason.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
If it sees me.
I see him.
Now you're coming in. But you're frozen. I don't know why. That's weird.
Really? Am I frozen, Ibbit? Yeah.
Not for me. I see your little ears flippity flopping.
Try
weirdo, man. Hopping. Weirdo.
Is that a Nickelodeon hoodie you're wearing?
Oh, you like my Nickelodeon hoodie too? Oh, yeah.
I thought his hat thing.
You're really dressed up for the occasion. Look at that.
Yeah. MLK Day, baby.
Hey, Brian, resend. Resend video.
Nickelodeon and hoodie ears.
Resend video because I still can't see you moving. I don't know why. All right, send it again. There we go. No, it's still frozen. Weird. I don't know why.
How strange.
We're off.
And Ibbit can see me fine, right?
I'm seeing him move, and
I see you really reaching over to a computer and then sitting there with your arm stretched out, and then you're frozen there. I don't know why. It's weird.
That's right, bizarre.
Well, maybe it'll catch up. We'll find out here shortly.
Maybe, yeah.
As we play a game of Battle Royale, let's find out if we have a listener on the line. I think we do. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Hey, this is Merrick Prime in the chat
book. Hey, what's going on? Merrick Prime, you said?
Merrick Prime. Yeah.
Nice.
How's it going, guys?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to have you here. Anytime we get a Transformer on the show, we're pretty stoked about it. So welcome to the show.
Merrick Prime always invites me to Pokemon Go raids, and I love joining for those.
That's really nice. Well, I'm glad he's here to play. Brian, why don't you explain to him what he could win and how this contest works?
Absolutely, Scott. It's time to play the Tadpooly Feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian will have to predict the answers that they gave us. It's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Merrick Prime, your job is going to be more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. And if your team wins, you get a prize package that includes the Haunted Island, a Frog Detective game, and the sequel, Frog Detective 2, The Case of the Invisible Wizard.
Brian,
I love that title.
Yeah.
The Invisible Wizard.
The Invisible really Wizard. Wizard.
Yeah, very good.
The Invisible Wizard.
Yeah.
What's you on my
either,
foot?
You are either a giant, Brandon, or you're drinking out of the tiniest can of Coke Zero.
Oh, yeah, I know. I feel like I'm having like my own show with Ibbit because you can see everything I'm doing.
Well, that's because literally you are. Nobody else can see you, including me.
Hey, just my Mandalorian cup. Is that cool or what?
Oh, I love
pretty
it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Use your imagination, chat. Just pretend you can see it. Right now, it's just black.
Is that the cast of Mad Max Fury Road that just entered your studio?
Well, there it is.
Oh, man.
There you go.
They're doing a reunion without me? Ooh. All right.
Oh, no. Wardrobe malfunction on Charlize Theron. Oh, my God. Well, at least we caught that on camera.
You know, look, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, or whatever they say.
Our beeper thing, how do I it keeps telling me the channel's not available. Is that...
Oh, are we doing the beeper? I don't know. Are we doing the beeper?
Oh,
isn't that what we usually do?
We do the beeper thing, and I'm giving you a link
Okay.
Now, but I haven't told you what your topic is. Jeez.
Oh, sorry. This is the last one you gave me.
Take your
time. Yeah, I know. This will give it away.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry, my bad.
So
you're right.
Now your buzzers should work. I haven't seen you join yet. Oh, Dunaway joined, and
what's here my? How do I know password? I don't know.
It's the same one
as the
before.
One he gave you last time. He told you to save it. Remember that?
I did, but it's showing up blank.
Okay, let me copy and paste it. I have to find it.
It's like Brian's video just doesn't show up.
You mean to send it again?
Here it is. Oh, actually, I got it.
I have it. Okay.
Do you? Okay. Yeah, I've got it right here.
Either way.
I got it. And I'm pasting it. There you go. Right there.
All
right.
I'm in. Cool. Okay. I'm going to hit play.
Yes, hit play. Okay. Your category is, we surveyed 200 Tadpool members and asked them their answer to this. Put your hands on your buzzers.
Wait.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Which TV character's death got you the most choked up?
Oh. Crap.
Scott Johnson.
I'm going to go with... Oh, my gosh, Scott.
All of them.
Did you say TV? You said TV.
No, real life. The one that bothers you the most in real life.
A character introduced on TV.
Okay.
No matter where they died, if they were introduced on TV, their death got people choked up.
I'm going to go with Coach on Cheers.
What? Yeah.
Show me Coach from Cheers.
You know what I almost said?
I thought you meant Coach from the TV series Coach. And I'm like, well, I didn't watch the final season. Holy Moses.
Yeah, he didn't die. All right.
Brian, your chance to
I'm going
to
go with the one that kind of upset me, but then they retconned and it didn't happen. John Goodman's character on Roseanne.
Show me.
Away at the end.
Show me Mr. What was his last name? Mr.
Mr. Barr. No.
The Mr. Barr. Show me John Goodman's character from.
John Goodman's character from. Roseanne.
Connors. That's right. Dan Connors.
Oh, I know one now. All right.
Well, now you get to guess again because it's back over to you.
All right. Let's go with Fry's dog on Futurama.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
show
a
me
good one.
Fry's dog on Futurama.
Oh, man.
Is that
10.
Up there? Is it up there? Is it up high?
It is. Number 10.
No. It's low, dude. The lowest.
Oh, it is low.
Very, very low. Yeah. That does give you a chance, or that gives you the choice of pass or play. Now, here's what we're doing a little bit different, because it was pointed out to me that the person who doesn't play always has won so far when we've done this.
Mm. Right.
So we're going to go back and forth. You can keep guessing until you get a strike. Then it goes to the other player to guess until they get a strike.
I like that.
First person to get three strikes or to clear the board wins. Okay. And Merrick Prime gets to choose who he wants to play with and be a coach to, or be a playmate, a contestant playmate.
A playmate, yeah.
Playmate.
Hey, Merrick Prime, who do you want to be a
playmate? Put your clothes back on.
Oh, I guess he doesn't tell us yet. Does he tell us? He doesn't tell us now.
He tells us now, yeah. Oh, okay. So, Merrick Prime, who would you like to work with on this?
I'm going to play with Scott.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And Scott does get to choose whether or not he wants to start. We'll pass it over to Brian for the first. There's no drawback.
There's no downside to starting, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and start then.
Keep passing back.
So, he and I can verbally. Talk this out.
I don't know how else you're going to do it, because telepathically isn't going to work over there.
No, you're right. It won't work. Okay. So Merrick Prime, I'm going to say, or one of the ones that popped into my head, because I'm trying to think, you know, this is a TMS audience is going to have some nerdy bents, you know, to stuff.
Right.
And so that's why I was thinking of Fry's dog. The problem is, I can't think of a good one.
Like characters that really choke people up. Yeah.
Oh, Henry Blake, maybe, from MASH. What do you think of that one?
Merrick Prime?
Merrick Prime, you there?
Oh, well, if we're talking TV, I'm thinking more of, you know, characters from Game of Thrones.
Oh, good one.
That's a good one. And I was thinking
Ned Stark from Game of Thrones.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, that's good.
I like it. Ned Stark, Brian, is our answer.
Ned Stark. Show me Ned Stark. Number 5 on the list. Very
bad.
Good.
Not bad. Good one. Good call.
Nice.
All right, so we keep going until we get one wrong, right?
No.
That's right. You get.
Until you get it wrong. Right.
Done away. No.
You no, don't you bastard. It's my turn.
All right.
It's always my turn.
This is hard.
Come on, Scott.
This is hard. I can't think of anything else. I'll say Henry Blake. Let's do a Henry Blake and get it
Let's
out of the way.
Let's just do Henry. Just get Henry Blake out of the way. Yeah. All right. Lieutenant Colonel Henry Blake from MASH.
That was a good one.
Oh, number two.
Wow.
Wow. All right. I shouldn't be so distrusting of my gut feeling.
Mm-hmm. Trust your gut.
Suck your gut.
Oh, yeah.
Merrick Prime, how familiar do you think the world is with, like, I don't remember his name. On ER, Goose died because he had cancer. And it was sad. I can't think of his name. But Goose from Top Gun.
I was thinking the cop brother in Breaking Bad. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Hank.
Wow, Hank, you should be when Hank you should put your hand on the buzzer. You're doing better than both me and Scott.
He's doing all right. Actually, I like that one. Why don't we say Hank, yeah. Breaking all Bad's right. Hank.
Show me Hank Schrader from Breaking Bad.
Damn it!
Just outside the top 10. He would have been, if I would have extended this to 15, he would have been in there. So now, Brian, it goes to you. Scott's got one strike.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm trying to think of what the tadpole would say, but I get to ask our listener as well, right? I get to say, hey, what do you think? Does carry on, or does he have to pick?
Well, Merrick Prime picked, so he cannot help you.
So he can't help me. All right. Okay.
No, you can only help
yourself. I'm going to go with one that was important to me. Mm-hmm. When Edith died. Edith. From All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Show me
Edith Bunker from All in the Family.
She also got raped. Oh, no. But not. That's not why she died.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh, but that was funny.
Hey,
are you kidding me here, you meathead? All right, goes back over to Scott. Just as a reminder, these are characters who were first shown on TV, no matter where they died, but they were introduced on television programs.
Okay.
And yes,
streaming services are television.
Oh, we're counting that. Oh.
Well, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, because people were saying, well, it's not HBO. It's not TV. It's HBO for your Game of Thrones guest.
All right. Do we have any, Merrick Prime, do you remember any major deaths or losses on The Mandalorian that I can't remember?
I remember Alf died. That was sad.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I need to keep that one.
Yeah, you better keep that one. you know what I'm saying, though? Like, did Mando have anything where there was, like, a massive character loss? I can't think of anything.
Not really. Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, the guy that helped him, the guy that I have spoken.
Oh, that's a good one. He died.
No, that's right. I forgot he did die, didn't he?
I feel like that's pretty fresh. Brian, let's do that guy. We're going to do the Nick Nolte character.
I believe his name was Quill.
Don't die.
Quill from The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And show me Quill from The Mandalorian.
Damn it!
Two people out of the 200 said that, but it should have been more because that was a bummer one.
Oh man!
Scott's got two strikes. Back over to Brian.
See, these are things that meant something to me, and this person actually died in real life. It killed me watching the episode. I don't know if you know, but Kaylee Cuoco from The Big Bang Theory. She used to be in a show called
She's Alive?
Rules.
Her name is...
No, I know, there was a show called Eight Simple Rules with John Ritter, and he passed away on set. And they decided to carry on.
Yeah. I don't think it's Cuoco, but keep going. You're fine.
Oh, how do you say it?
It's I say it like she says it, which is
How does she? Oh, I say it like she said it.
Kaylee Cuoco.
I say it like she said it.
Formerly Kaylee Cuoco.
I'm going to do it Chucho from now on or whatever.
Chucho.
Cucho. I say Cucho, but I can't remember a stupid name. Anyway, she didn't die. John Ritter died.
Yeah.
And that broke my heart.
Yeah.
All right. So the dad John on Ritter's Eight Simple Rules. Character on Eight Simple Rules.
Not going to happen.
Show me that.
he also died in Scrubs because he was also I think the dad there too, wasn't he?
Oh really?
I don't know. Was he? All right. Okay. Merrick Prime, we have an opportunity here. So there's a recent kind of raw one where the character and the actor died. I can't think of his name. 90210 dude who died during the run of that Archie show.
Riverdale.
Yeah, Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I don't know
this
how.
This has been the most. I can't remember the name of somebody. It's trivia we've done yet.
It's pretty bad. that jumps to mind, but I can't think of any good character deaths right now
Does the character have to die in the TV show or can he die?
No, they can die anywhere as long as they're introduced on the TV show.
Oh, then that's an easy one.
Oh, interesting.
That three times.
Well,
that's the third time I've said that.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to suggest we do Wash from Firefly, yeah. Even though he died in the movie,
that's
not the TV.
That's
good. Okay, we're doing that then. That's our pick, Wash from Firefly.
Show me Wash from Firefly. Number one answer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is... Okay, so now I know who these people are.
Yeah.
Why don't we just stay that?
Yeah. No, you should keep going back to like one day at a time and some
chat room. You've heard me say that to them like two or three times, right? Like
all three of us were confused.
The character was introduced on television.
Yeah, but hold on.
We heard what you said.
If all three of us were still confused, I wonder what that.
Yeah,
means.
But here's the thing. Hmm. If I were to say, well, they could have died in a movie that came
you're
after the TV
right.
show,
right.
It kind of would have led you right to that.
No, you're right.
Absolutely right, sir.
That
do
been
not
like
let
the
these guys
yes.
harass you.
Because that came up during the survey. Somebody said, you should change the question to say they could die in the movie. And then I said, if I do that, I'll get 1,000 people saying Wash.
Right.
Yeah, why didn't I think of that first? Okay, well, we got that one. We're back in it to win it here.
Back in it. Yep. So each of you have two strikes, but Scott, you still have the board. One more strike, and Ryan wins the game.
Yeah.
From a TV show that died in the movie as well was Spock, Star Trek.
Oh,
dadgummit!
Yeah, even though he came.
You and
back.
Your clarification, Zibbit.
That's not
bringing around good
that's not bad.
Answers.
Let me just think around that for a second. Is that you don't
What's
have any rules, Brian, about whether they came back or not?
No. I mean, as long as if they're on screen death. Whether that's a movie screen or a TV screen or whatever, was choked people up, then I included it.
All right. Then we'll say Spock. That's a good pick.
All right. Show me Spock.
Damn
that is your third strike.
See, the tadpole didn't understand the question either.
Now, do I, because we're making the rules up here a little bit, do I then let Brian attempt the steal? If he names one that's on the list, he wins. Otherwise, it stays with you guys. I think that's the way we'd do it.
That is how you do it if you want to stay true to this. But also,
to be fair, yeah.
Merrick Prime wins under what conditions? Has he already lost because we got that last
one? No,
if,
BS.
if we do that rule, so right now Merrick Prime would have lost. But if we say Brian gets to make one last guess, if Brian's wrong, Merrick Prime wins. If he doesn't, then Merrick
I like
Prime
that.
Loses.
We weighed it. Okay. We weighed this in favor of the listener of the caller.
Yes,
I
that's
like
right.
That.
By the way, Spock was on the big list, but he was just under the top 10.
But he didn't make in the little list.
Yeah.
He didn't make it in the little list.
It probably did hurt.
I accidentally just looked at the chat room, and I can't use the one that you just said because that was a beautiful one.
Exactly. Yeah. Bobby Frank says yes. You have to do it that way, otherwise the person who goes first will always lose. Good point. Yep. Okay. So Brian has two strikes. Scott has three. If Brian gets this right, then he does a good steal, and Brian wins. Otherwise, it goes to Scott and Merrick Prime.
Not to worry too much.
ears. What's great is, I wish you guys could see Brian, because the ears, he has little floppy rabbit ears that he's controlling with a pulley mechanism somewhere else. And his ears are just randomly flopping up and down while he's thinking.
These are my stress balls.
He does them on, he has those same things on Boop Show all the time. But
oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah, these right. This is my Boop Hat. If you missed the Boop Hat, here's the Boop Hat. No.
Six possible answers on the board.
Six possible answers, 100% chance I'm not going to guess any of them.
Okay.
Except for one that I saw in the chat room, which I'm not going to use just because I'm going to try not to.
Oh,
but it was a great answer. Tech comment, there's the iPad's got a chat room pull up too. Oof. Okay.
Maybe don't look at them.
Stupid things. I'm going to go with, it really upset me when, it didn't really upset me. Maude Flanders, when she passed away, it felt weird. That was like the first Simpsons character that died. And that kind of upset me a little bit.
I thought Bleeding Gums Murphy died before Maude, but maybe
yeah,
not.
But I mean, no, but did. Bleeding Gums wasn't really as much a regular. He sure. was there. He would stop in. He only really interacted with Lisa.
So yeah, but it was sadder than Maude. Maude was
You're
dumb.
Right. It was sad. You want me to change my answer?
No. You do what you want.
All right, then. All right, then.
You be you.
All right. Show me Maude Flanders.
Oh. If Bleeding Gums is up, they're going to be pissed.
Maude Flanders, by the way, was on the list. Bleeding Gums was not on the list. Nice. But Maude was. So that means Merrick Prime wins. Let's go through the rest of these names.
How about Grimey? Grimes, when he died in the, that was sad.
No, the only Simpson, actually I take it back. Grimes was also in the list with like one or two nice. Votes. Show me number three, Charlie from Lost.
Oh,
Charlie.
Man.
Dominic
Monaghan.
That's good.
Not Penny's boat.
Yep.
I actually thought about Echo for just a second, because that really pissed
me off. Yeah, Mr. Echo was great, too.
Yeah.
Show me number four. Dolores Landingham from The West Wing.
Oh, that was
spoiler.
Sad.
By the way, I should have said all of these are spoiler alerts if you have not seen the series.
Yeah.
That one was a surprise.
What's that CSI character that got shot in the back of the head?
Oh, they're all dead. Everyone in CSI, they're all dead. one of these going to be Hodor? I'm going to be so sad I didn't pick Hodor.
Oh, and no, it was because it was in the chat room. That's why I
saw. Number six.
Rainbow Glenn
from The Walking Dead died, found out he was still alive, and then died again thanks to Negan's bat.
Yeah.
Number seven, Joyce Summers, Buffy's mom from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm. I could have gotten
number
that one.
Eight, Hodor, indeed.
Dang it.
Should have stayed on the Game of Thrones wagon. Yeah. The one that's really going to make you kick yourself because you thought of it and didn't say it or didn't choose it. Dr. Mark Green from ER.
That's pretty rough.
That was rough.
Wait. Which one was that? Was that the time he grabbed hold of the elevator blades?
No.
I mean,
that guy stayed alive. That was Romano.
That
guy.
Dr. Romano. The guy that could smell Sully's cancer in X-Files, that actor.
Right, exactly. No, yeah. Mark Green died from cancer. The character died from cancer.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It was a long, drawn-out thing, too.
It was
rough.
So let me give you some other ones that didn't make the top 10. Optimus Prime, Walter White from Breaking Bad, the 10th Doctor, Doctor Who, David Tennant, Hank from Breaking Bad, Leo McGarry from The West Wing, Maude Flanders from The Simpsons, Mr. Hooper from Sesame Street.
Oh, Mr. Hooper, of course.
Sweets from Bones. Amy Pond from Doctor Who, Ben Sullivan, Bob Newby from Stranger Things, Buffy herself, Dean Winchester from Supernatural, Derek Shepherd, a.k.a. McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy, as well as George O'Malley from Grey's Anatomy.
Wait a minute. They didn't die, did they?
I've never watched more than five episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
I thought George O'Malley just freaking left. I didn't realize he died.
Apparently he died. Jonathan Kent, Laura Roslin, President Laura Roslin from Battlestar.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall's dad from How I Met Your Mother.
This has been Jose the saddest
from Orange
subject.
Is the New Black. Shepherd Book, Shireen Baratheon, and Agent Coulson in Parentheses.
But he didn't die.
Neither did Spock.
And then came back and then died. He died about three or four times during the season. And finally, the last time he came back, he was an android.
But he doesn't count. He shouldn't count because he wasn't TV before the movie death. It was movie death right, before
the
TV.
Oh, yeah. Introduced in TV. Yeah. Oh.
People did also say Bambi's mom and E.T., oh. So I wouldn't have counted any of those. But yes, he was introduced. Actually, Coulson wasn't even introduced in the movie. He was introduced in a Marvel one-off short that was included with...
Oh, so you didn't think about the character, Iron not Man. Necessarily the actor as character.
Maybe not. Maybe he...
But as a character.
Maybe he did first appear in one of the films.
Did we mention no one mentioned
because he was in the first Iron Man, okay, but then he appeared in a short.
No one mentioned Good Times and the father on that one because
nobody
that was
no because nobody, nobody watched good, nobody watched Good Times. You were glued to your television.
Everybody watched Good Times.
You were so glued to your TV as a kid. You never
one person said Catelyn Stark, which I think was that would have been higher for me than Ned and Hodor.
Yeah.
Daenerys Targaryen, Fitz from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., IG-11, Ingrid from Game of Thrones, Jack Shepard, Jadzia Dax, J.R. Ewing.
Oh my gosh.
He didn't really die though. Come on.
Shot. What do you mean? Of course he died.
No, he just got
no,
shot.
No, he didn't. It was all a dream.
Yeah, he recovered.
Because
the Who Shot J.R. thing was him dying, but the whole third season of Dallas was a dream.
Hold on, now no. If I'm Mandeling this,
you're remembering that wrong. It was the other way.
Yeah, he didn't die. He recovered, but also the entire thing ended up being someone's dream.
Yeah, he woke up. It was like he was taking a shower. The first.
No, that's Patrick Duffy.
Bobby. Patrick Duffy died, right. But then. You know,
but who shot JR?
Kirsten shot JR.
Hold on, did JR Ewing die? I swear this. I have this in my head.
Really?
Right.
Did JR come back?
I swear he recovered. That was the whole idea, is that he didn't die, right?
I thought that he did die. I thought JR
he did
died.
Die because he died from liver problems, didn't he? Eventually.
Well, the actor did, but yeah. Okay, I can't find it.
Yeah, I thought JR really did die. And you're
thinking I guess we should discount. I guess we should discount Mr. Burns too. He died for like half a minute.
Yeah, well, nobody said.
But nobody
Ichor says
Brian.
JR did not die.
Yeah,
he died and came back on a reunion show. Says Luke Skywalker. Yeah, really?
My memory is that he did not. He didn't die at all. Reincarnation. No, that's characters featured in two seasons of the 2012
series.
Who
would JR come back as?
Hagman didn't do it though. Let's see. I can't find this. JR divided has JR being shot.
Right. Bobby Ewing died, then it was a dream. That's the one I remember.
Yeah,
right.
That's definitely the case. But this JR
remember the shower scene when he's all like, they come in and he's like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
I'm right here.
I remember me. Why are you looking at me like you've just seen a ghost? Is the TV trope.
They could have had him fix some breakfast. No. They decided to have him in the shower. Dallas.
I don't like your review of Inflated Year. Okay. He lived, according to the Wikipedia page. He lived.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I swear I remember that. And you were freaking me out for a second because
I totally remember him dying. So I don't know.
Well, it seems.
I wonder NBC was it NBC the head Dallas.
It was NBC, I think.
CBS
was it? CBS. Wherever you had your lead-ins on Friday, so you had your Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Where really can I watch same damn thing?
Two shows Brian avoided like the plague.
Yep, exactly.
All right.
No, well, I watched the Beverly Hillbillies TV show. I just
me tell you what was sad.
The movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Me tell you what was sad every episode.
What?
Little House in the Prairie.
Oh, that was always sad. That's a good one. We could have done
that.
That
was a good one.
Yeah, people died on that.
All the time.
Yeah, that was people because it was the Old West, man. It was the hard times. Those were the hard times.
Mm-hmm. It was the hard times.
People lived to like 30, and that was it. And then you got the Winnebago or whatever disease they had, and then they just die. That's how it went.
Winnebago.
Yeah, the Winnebago. That's right. You heard me. well done. That you know what all of this means is this.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
We've got a winner, and that means that you have to call or you have to email Brian there, Merrick Prime, and you have to send him an email. And he'll send you these codes. That email is coverville@gmail.com. That is coverville@gmail.com. Congratulations and well done.
And I'm going to hit up Alcubob and see if I can get him to, because I like this new format. It makes it so it's a little bit more of a battle. Mm-hmm. I'll just see if we can work the way to do this to, ideally we work it so that the scores, so that whichever one of you gets the most points from higher point values determines the winner.
That'd be smart.
When you both get to three strikes.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, here's something to program for you.
Exactly. Yes, I know.
Look, you guys, we have another frozen image of Brian, but this time looking at us. There you go.
I don't know. I don't know. Weird. I know. Ibbits can seize it just fine. Ibbits can seize it.
Don't update Ibbits. Don't update your Discord, people. Just a warning.
Maybe that's what's going on. Anyway, hey, Brian Dunaway, it's great to have you. Tomorrow, he and I will be doing the Boop Show. And, of course, Wednesday, he'll be back doing more of this. It's always good to see you. Anything you'd like to add before I kick you out?
Sure. I've been playing Scaleboy for the Boop Show. I just did one right before this episode, and I'll be doing it later this afternoon at twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. Follow me. Enjoy, it's just right there. Just click on it.
Enjoy your milk day. MLK day. Enjoy it while you have it.
Thank you, sir.
Bye now. All right.
All right.
He just stayed frozen that whole time. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to make some things with Bill, and then I've got, Steven's out, but I've got a comic review I want to do today stead, which I've been reading and really loving and so surprised by. So we'll get to that in a bit. Before that, though, a musical break from Brian Ibbett. Brian?
That's right. And this musical break is brought to you by Soundography. Brand new episode just got posted this morning featuring the band Supertramp. So take the long way home and eat your breakfast in America and listen to this brand new episode of Soundography. You're bloody well right to do it.
I like it.
That was all off the cuff. All right. So we're going to an artist named Suvlaki, an eclectic artist who does some vocal stuff but also does some instrumental stuff. I picked one of the instrumental tracks because I really, really dig it. This is from a brand new EP called Continued Survival. Suvlaki is spelled just like you think it would be, Souvlaki, Suvlaki. Check out the brand new EP and enjoy this track, Wake Me Up. Thank you.
11 herbs and spices make Kentucky Fried Chicken so finger-licking good that some people forget to mention.
Peelin' taters.
This is the Morning Stream, where you get to be the man.
Back, we have arrived at our destination. That is to say,
that's right.
We got over the breakpoint. Now we're to the point where Bill Duran sweeps in like a magical, mystical man of mystery.
Yes.
And, tells us stuff. And we start.
An international man of makestery.
That's right. Oh, hey. Now we have a new title for the thing. No? Okay.
No, that's bad.
I kind of liked it.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, look who it is, everybody. It's Bill Duran all the way from the Pacific Northwest and the offices, studios, and home of punishprops.com. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, friends. Doing okay?
Oh, it's fantastic. He's a maker. Yeah. Comes on Mondays. And we talk about making things on Mondays. I don't know why we don't call it the Monday Maker. Or we got to come up with some names.
Yeah, because it used to be Tuesdays, and that didn't work. But now that we have on a Mondays, we have the alliteration. So
yeah, Maker, we should Monday? Use it somehow. Bill makes things on Monday. Bill Monday Making. No, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we're workshopping it, dude. Don't worry. We'll take it to our best people and get back to you. But in the meantime, it's always good to hear from you. What hath you brought today?
I had a fun little project I did last week. This past summer was actually our 10th wedding anniversary.
Whoa. Aww.
Super
congratulations.
Fun.
Yeah, nice job.
When we got married back in the year 2010, mm-hmm. I convinced a friend of mine who was actually my roommate at the time, Phil, to sculpt our cake topper. Now, Phil is, at the time we were all working together at Microsoft, but now Phil is an artist at Funko. So he's moved on to cooler things. Yeah. Pretty good at what he does.
Oh, please tell me your cake topper had giant heads.
No.
with soulless eyes.
That would be pretty good. He sculpted each of us. We have sort of a cartoony looking sculpt, but we're in like action poses. So I'm holding up my hand like it's I'm a spy with my James Bond gun, and Britt's got her arms out like she's gonna karate chop someone. It's really good. I actually posted a photo over on Twitter. You want to go check it out?
Yeah, cool. I do want to check it out, actually.
We did make a video for this, but we put it over on Patreon. So if you're a patron, then that's how you go see that. We made a short little video for it.
Sometime you need to do stuff just for the patrons. That's the right way to do it. Yeah. A tasty way to do it. Exactly.
For sure.
So the story here, though, is that when Phil originally painted it, he painted it a couple days before we had to fly out to our wedding. The paint never dried. Ever. Mm-hmm. It just stayed tacky forever. When we transferred it to the wedding, we wrapped it in a paper towel to keep it safe. What happened was that paper towel stuck to it.
Oh.
So we had to pick little bits of paper towel off of it before we put it on our cake.
What'd you end up doing? Because it seems like that's is it still tacky? I assume you still have these. Are they tacky?
Yeah, it's still tacky. We cleaned it up enough for our wedding photos. It looked fine. It looked okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But we brought it home and put it on the shelf, and it has sat there, sticky, for 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Now, we have two fluffy cats in our house. So if you can guess what that cake topper was covered in.
Are you guys starting to look like Chewbacca up there?
Yeah, a little bit. So last week, I had the great idea to strip all the paint off of it and repaint it. And I did that. I wanted to see if I could get the paint to just come off with solvents. Yeah. So I tried a bunch of different solvents. I tried acetone. I tried naphtha. Lacquer thinner, that did the trick.
Lacquer thinner. So remind us what lacquer thinner is, because I haven't heard that phrase since I was a kid, I think.
Sure. So lacquer is a type of paint, and lacquer thinner is used to dissolve it or to as a solvent to spray your lacquer or whatever.
Right.
But it's also used to clean paint. My cat is just yell at me. What's your deal, dude?
He's mad that his tacky hair catcher.
What'd you do with all my hair?
Yeah, sorry. anyway, lacquer thinner is really, really tenacious stuff. You can use it to clean things. You can use it to get paint off of stuff. It is very flammable, so you want to be careful with it. I went and wrapped, or I took a paper towel and I soaked it in the lacquer thinner. Now a lacquer thinner soaked rag is a fire concern, so be careful if you do ever do anything like that.
Plus, you can use it to knock somebody out.
Probably. Like, yeah. Ace Ventura.
Like chloroform. Yeah, exactly.
So, wrap this thinner soaked rag around my figures, and then I covered them with a container. And I let it sit there for a couple hours. And the vapor from the lacquer thinner made the paint like bubble and wrinkle and pull off of the surface. I could just peel the paint off. It was really cool. Like peeling a sunburn off.
Ooh, that is cool. That's amazing that, you know, a decade later, that stuff is I don't know. I would have thought it would be more adherent to the models and be all stuck in there molecularly at that level, you know, like you wouldn't be able to peel it, but.
Goes to show how nasty lacquer thinner is. It's pretty dangerous stuff. You do want to be careful with it.
Sure.
But yeah, it totally did. Now there were some spots like in the, you know, in between the fingers and around some of the details where I had to go in with like a pick and a brush and like pick some of the paint out. But I got it pretty much cleaned off. I did a pretty good job of getting all the paint off. Mm-hmm. It was just Sculpey. The original was made out of Sculpey. So I like hit it with a heat gun. I wasn't sure if it didn't dry because maybe the Sculpey wasn't fully cured.
Yeah.
So I heat gunned it. I cleaned it up a whole bunch and then I repainted it.
So this second image on Twitter is this is your repainting, not some old photo.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it's exactly. Great.
It looks, it's very, very inspired, it seems like, by the Rankin-Bass clay style, like the Year Without a Santa Claus and stuff like that. That's what it reminds me of.
Oh, yeah. That's funny you say that because every time I look at it, I feel like it needs to start moving any second now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's going to start moving in that same, you know, Rankin and Bass style.
Yeah.
It'd be a pretty good stop motion puppet if it wasn't completely rigid.
For sure. And this is evidence that all you had to do is show Funko the eyes he gave the two of you, and Funko said, "Oh yeah, you're right. Well, you're
exactly fit right in. Yeah. Oh, you do black eyes on your characters? Guess what?
Perfect.
Got a position for you. Here's your cubicle. So, here's your neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, got painted, primed it with just like a rattle can. I airbrushed all the white first because everything else would get painted on top of the white, and then the flesh and the hair and the clothing was all hand painted. So I just mixed up some acrylic paints and hand painted those. And glued it all back onto the base, and that did it. And it looks pretty much the way that it looked before the cat hair.
What a cool thing to have, though, as a memory of your wedding day. It's just a rad thing. Like, unusual. Everybody who ever does cake toppers are always so boring and, you know, whatever. But this is, like, really meaningful and cool. And now you've restored it. Well done.
Yeah. And I captured an era when I didn't have any gray hair.
That's right.
Sort of keep that in there forever.
Yeah, and your beard is a lot. Back then, you had this, like, I don't know how to explain it. It was like your head was being held together by this tight, amazing beard.
It's like truly a chin beard.
Yeah, literally a chin beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting that. Literally, your nickname is based on that. But I also like that she is significantly taller than you in the models, which is true in real life. And don't cross her. She'll kick your butt, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very nice. Karate chops.
So your patrons got a load of this. If you're a patron over there, you can get more detail on this. Obviously, you can see video and stuff. But very cool. If you get your own little thing at home that you want to repaint, refinish, perhaps checking out Bill's work will help you be inspired.
There you go.
Bill, any thing additional this week? A link, perhaps?
Yeah. Got a good recommendation. We're like 5 or 6 episodes into the new season of BattleBots, and I'm going to recommend everyone goes and watches it. I went and bought the season on Amazon. That's where I've been watching it, and it's awesome. The episodes are like an hour and a half long each. There's like 6 or 7 fights per episode. All the robots are crazy and awesome and super destructive, and it's just been a really great season. Let's just say the judges haven't had to work very hard. Pretty much every fight goes to a robot knockout a spectacular fashion.
Does the show, I've not seen it, and it seems like something I'd really like, but does the show spend time with them building and making and stuff? It's not just the fights or how?
Yeah,
how
they, they do. They interview the people who build the robots. They do a lot of behind the scenes stuff, and it's pretty great. They don't deep dive into like how the robots are really built, but they do a pretty good job of covering everything.
Nice. Well, I need to watch it. And it's, you just buy the seasons. It's not streaming anywhere, right?
No, I just bought the whole season right there on Amazon.
Gotcha.
And they tested recently, did a video with one of their producers talking about filming it during COVID. Mm-hmm. And they did a really great job. No one got sick the whole season.
Awesome.
And apparently the bot builders, the teams had it. Like, they had tons of space. Like, they're never going to have it this good again. They had, mm-hmm, 20 feet between each one of their pits. They got food whenever they wanted. Like, they really took care of everyone and did a great job of filming an excellent season.
Nice. Go check it out. Battle Bots, right?
That the name? You got it.
All right. Hey, Bill Duran, everybody. He is punishedprops.com's own Bill Duran. You can also find him on Twitter under the name Chinbeard because he has a beard on his chin.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Brian, I now present you with this.
There's the damn Superman.
There's the damn Superman. Hey, I'm going to do a review of a comic book that features Superman. Now,
okay, all right.
Steven's at a doctor's appointment. That's why he's not here today. But in his stead, I'm going to do something he might do, which is review a comic. And I'm going to review something that I'm so shocked that I like that I had to share this. So it's on Comixology. If you have Comixology Unlimited, their $5 a month or whatever it is subscription. This is there in full, so you can just get it. It's also on the DC Universe app, so their comics app has it as well, if you're subscribing to that. But this is a DC comic. It is a tie-in. And, Brian, as you know, tie-ins often suck.
Yeah.
They're often bad. So if you've got a crossover or some kind of product to sell, and if there's a comic tie-in, they're usually pretty bad, like low-level garbage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, is that not true here. So,
really?
All right. Okay. So, some years ago, 2-3 years ago, 4-5 years ago, whatever it was, the makers of Mortal Kombat, NetherRealm is the name of the developers. They started a series featuring all the DC characters. NetherRealm is a Warner Brothers owned game studio. And when that transaction first happened, they made that DC versus Mortal Kombat game some years ago. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
It was very good.
Great graphics. Yeah. If you like fighting games, yeah.
Yeah, it looked good. It was cool. Some of the story was really cool. The problem with that game was they watered down. Like, it just wasn't violent enough for a Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
And maybe too violent for a DC game. So.
Right. It was one reason people buy Mortal Kombat games, and it wasn't in that game.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But there was something fun about Batman versus, you know, Sub-Zero. Something cool about that. But anyway, jump ahead a few years. They really have refined the storytelling in their games, and they put out a new series some years ago called Injustice. And Injustice was a purely DC-based product. And I didn't play much of the first Injustice, but I knew that one of the hallmarks of it was, like, tons of story. And this really interesting story where there's kind of a split in the Justice League. And didn't know much else about that story. But I knew that they were going to start putting out a comic based on it. And that it was going to run weekly for 99 cents a shot.
Oh, wow.
And my thing was like, oh, that's going to be bad. That's going to be shovelware.
Yeah. is that a sign that they know what it's worth and they're saying, yeah, we're not going to be able to charge $2.99 for this?
Right. And so I was convinced that this was going to be garbage. But then a few people over the years have said, oh, if you haven't read Injustice, you're missing out. It is so good. It's so good. It's so good. And I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. A video game tie-in? Like, really? Because they're not supposed to be good. And I just had all my biases and stuff about it. Anyway, finally picked it up, and I cannot stop reading this. It is so good. I'll follow this new, I forgot the name of the writer. I'll look it up real quick, but the guy who writes it, I'll follow him into the comic book depths from now on, because he is great. The writing's amazing. They use a bunch of different artists. You can tell that given the weekly schedule and the sort of workflow that probably represented, they would swap people, or they would have different artists. Like you'll be reading along 2-3 panels, and then suddenly the art will change to some totally different artist for the next 4-5 panels.
Oh, really? Within like I'm used to, you know, this issue the art's going to be done by so and so, but actually within.
Yeah, and they're not so disparate that you're like, oh, these are this is taking me out of it. It doesn't really do that. But you can tell it's just different people, and it makes sense if you're going to put out a weekly and you're trying to cram it all. They had to do something. That's couldn't true. Put that all in one artist.
Share the load, yeah.
But they have a great assortment or array of artists working on it, and it's so good. It's the it may be my favorite DC story ever.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Like over the Frank Miller stuff and the...
Yeah, well, in terms... Okay, you know what? I'll narrow it down. Of all of the stuff where someone is writing, you know, some Jeff Johns or whoever is putting together a thing that kind of covers the, you know, the bigger issues of the world, sort of your Avengers level, but for DC Justice League stuff.
Probably like a series versus a one-shot graphic novel thing.
Yeah, correct. So for that category, it's shot right up for me. I'm loving it. It's so good.
Wow.
And that doesn't... You know, that doesn't diminish things like someone said Kingdom Come in the chat. That's one of the greatest stories ever told and an amazing art, Alex Ross and all that. But that thing is a limited run. It had a start and an end, and you were done. Injustice 1 and 2, Injustice 2 just came out between the last two Mortal Kombats, the second Injustice game came out. Currently free to play on Game Pass if you have it on PC or console. But anyway... I'm just completely roped in. It's really, really good writing. It's amazing. It's a way of looking. So without spoiling anything, because I really feel like I don't want to spoil this, but there's this break in the team because of something really gnarly that happens. Mm-hmm. And in that level of gnarly means that Superman has had it. He's had it.
Okay.
And he decides to jump out with a bunch of like-minded people. Yeah.
Throw
in the cape. No, he decides he wants to just say, look, I'm tired of fiddling around. Like, here's an example. He's like, Gotham has an asylum full of criminals that we have just catered to, and every time they run afoul, we put them in there and hope to rebuild.
And we just wait for them to escape and terrorize Gotham.
Yeah,
and
he says, we're done doing that. We're not doing that anymore. We're going to put them in a place where they can never escape and they're never going to be a problem again. And as you imagine, this sort of there's a high-mindedness to it, but it's also bordering on dictatorship, because now Superman's basically saying, look, I'm just going to make it the way I want it. I'm just going to stop these wars and that'll be it. Like, he's doing it. He's got a righteous reason, and Wonder Woman's got a righteous cause to follow this and all this other stuff, but Batman sees it deeper and knows, Bruce Wayne knows where this is headed. It's headed toward a control... a level of control that he is just not comfortable with. So he and some other like-minded people in the league have split off in their own little group to sort of fight this. So now you have a lot of infighting going on. Anyway, it's very, very, very good. And I'm so shocked how much I liked it that I can't recommend it enough. So go check it out. It's called Injustice. They have a whole first series, which I'm in the middle of still. I think I'm 7 or 8 chapters in. Mm-hmm. And there's also a second Injustice 2 series that apparently is also good that was a couple years ago. Just loving it. Even if you're not a DC fan, I think this is some of the best stuff I've ever read. It's very, very good.
You know, I haven't read a lot of DC. I think the last really big series that I read and loved, and I know it's going back. No, I've definitely read stuff since then, but Identity Crisis, Sue Dibney's really death and Dr. Light and how hard, like what a shocking story that was.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time for me to go back in and give some more DC. Give some DC a chance, Brian.
You might like it.
Get off your Spider-Man high horse and give some DC a chance.
It has some of the best Robin and Nightwing interactions, because Robin is currently Damian, Batman's son.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and Dick Grayson, who went on to be Nightwing, he comes back and is sort of part of this, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's just got, there's some cool stuff. This Aquaman bit was really cool. They have to fight a Kraken at one point, which sounds dumb, but it's really good. It's almost like they said, hey, We know tie-ins are bad, but we're going to go ahead and do our best work. And they're killing it. It's
and
so
it turned
good.
Out to be really good work. Wow. Yeah. Cool.
So I'm going to recommend it. Go check it out again. That is the Injustice series. And the entire first volume is, I think second volume too, but at least the first volume is just 100% there on Comixology. You just go get it. And keep reading. And I read that. Oh my gosh, too late last night. It was like 1:30. Still reading. all right. That leads us to today's Monday morning mashup. Oh yeah. Ooh. Oh yeah. We're gonna play this. This is called Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
Okay. So,
all right.
Don't know what to expect, but here it is. My name is Ron, and he is DMCA, and we got the thing with the shoes and the stuff. Woo! That whole thing.
Your house fell apart, you boob.
Yeah, you boob, you imbecile.
Mary, I think the tussling neighbors are arguing again. Well, I can't find Mrs. Lonelyheart's dog. It's missing.
And you're right.
Hit the brass, really.
Oh, didn't go through your head, though, eh? We've disproved something with physics, eh? Let's get a beer.
Yep, I'm a sperm donor, but I won't masturbate.
Yeah.
It's only
I won't do
natural
it.
Delivery.
By the way, this is 9 years before Crudup would model his blue penis.
Oh, penis.
Yeah, 9 years. Yeah,
wow.
He would be Mr. Manhattan in
Captain Manhattan.
Went to blue peen school for 4 years. He's Dr. Manhattan.
You have to. You got to get a doctorate in blue peen.
Yeah, he's got his doctorate in peen.
Exactly. Yeah. F it right in the butt.
You have a vagina. I have a penis. Let's put them together.
They're not bringing my son his organic food. Boo freaking who?
Hi, my son is the one with the horns and the headdress and the leather pants, no shirt. Hi, yes. You can't miss him. Could you bring him some steamed tofu, please? He just won't eat if you don't do it. He'll starve himself.
I'm just going to go ahead and put my cards on the table and say, doesn't work that way.
Sorry, Dollar Store Jamiroquai, you're not going to get your...
The UK, we don't have butts, we have posteriors.
Yes. Pockets.
Posterior dialing.
Yes. Fanny dialing. Yes.
That's a different thing.
Oh.
Where the police? Open the door. Open your effing door. We're coming in.
There's a bobby at the door. Let us in.
That's right. If you don't open the door, we'll say shit, but it'll sound like shite.
Clunk.
What has happened? My wiener device has closed, and it will not open.
Mom, could you call him and tell him to give me some organic food?
Don't call me Chandley, Mom. Call me Shaman. Okay?
And liken them to the ill-fated crooks in the movie Home Alone. You know,
Wet Bandits.
Daniel Stern and Chuck E. Cheese. Nope. What's his name?
No? Damn it. I had his name in my head until you said Chuck E. Cheese.
What's wrong with me? He's one of the great actors of our generation. Joseph.
Joe Pesci. Jeez,
Joe Pesci. Jeez. I still wouldn't mind seeing a cut of Home Alone where Chuck E. Cheese is there.
Daniel Stern and Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, I'd be into it.
Pesci
Cheese, don't eat it. It's not good for you.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That was a good one. Well done, Jamie. As always, Jamie is TMS Mashups on Twitter if you want to follow him and give him props for his mad work. Real quick here, we have a little bit of fan service.
Fan service!
We got a fan service from somebody who says this. I'm writing to express endless thanks as one of the Listen Later streamers that has been here since the early 2000s. Loving all the great content. Odd as it sounds, the Tadpole feels like a tangible family, whether you're home or away. We agree.
That's so true. Yep.
I'm a production manager for a large allergy company near Spokane, Washington. Did I read that right?
He makes allergies?
I guess he makes allergies, yeah.
Huh. Okay.
He says, we're responsible for producing critical venoms for the worldwide allergy industry. Mm. We spend a lot
venoms.
Of our- yeah,
love
venoms.
It. Mm, oh, venoms. Well, I hope he's got little vials of animated black goop.
Little symbiotes ready to attach to a new host. We spend a lot of our time in full body PAPRs. I guess that's those big outbreak suits. Yeah,
aren't they probably dress like AIM.
Yeah.
Marvel Comics.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
like AIM. Yeah, those AIM guys.
Ah. Those yellow AIM uniforms.
I hate those AIM guys. it reminds me of Nicolas Cage in The Rock when he's trying to stop that doll from blowing up. The little gas doll or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say it reminds me of Nicolas Cage in The Wicker Man. Oh. When he's,
Not the bees.
The bees.
Alrighty. Anyway, it says, we pull venom sacs off of wasps. Anyway, he says, great content is a must. I've gone through some dynamic family changes recently, leaving me a single father of four. So I'm looking to new avenues to express myself and grow a community. If possible, I'd love to link up with some like-minded tadpooligans and share some fun streams via Twitch. I'm an old dog learning new tricks, so I really would really appreciate the feedback. Mind dropping a word on, or basically just asking for it. He says, you can find him at twitch.tv/loyalbait.
I was really hoping you were going to do the sentence before that.
I'll read it again. Really appreciate the feedback. Mind dropping a word my way for some support while I work rid of the Vespid anaphylaxis?
Well, right? I work to rid you all of Vespid anaphylaxis.
Oh, is that a thing that we all have? We don't all have that, do we?
No, that's going into like allergy shock from a wasp sting.
Oh, anaphylactic shock. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tina's allergic to bees.
Bees? Oh, no.
So, yeah.
My cousin is, but nobody in my family is directly allergic to bees that I'm aware of. Kim is allergic to seaweed, so she can't eat sushi with seaweed.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. She breaks out in this horrible, awful thing. It's so bad. Anyway, so go check it out. This website, once again, is twitch.tv/loyalbait. He says, to be perfectly clear, I do not like them, but how about I don't like bees? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I'll do that for you right now.
I don't like bees.
There you go. Many thanks, the loyalist of all the baits. So again, that's Loyal Bait. Go check it out.
Loyal Bait, twitch.tv/loyalbait.
Very nice. All right, Brian, that's it. We're done. We've finished the show, and I would like to remind fine folks at home that the way the show continues to roll forward is through their support at patreon.com/TMS. Huge thanks to everyone who already does. You'll be getting new art soon because I just submitted it. You're getting bonus content today, as recent as just today, because you get it every day. So help us out if you haven't before, patreon.com/TMS. And for everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. The only thing you can't get from me is music, because Brian has to give you that. So, Brian. Mm-hmm.
I've got to give it to you, and I administer it from wasp sacks. So, little tiny brass instruments that I give to wasps. This one is appropriate for the day. It did not come via request. I decided, hey, let's play this, because I think I've played a cover of this song almost every year on Martin Luther King Day since we started the show. Mm. So I'm doing it again. And you can probably guess based on that description. The song is by U2. It, of course, is With or Without You. No, I'm kidding. It's Pride in the Name of Love. Covered here by the band LP from The Time Is Now from 2016. Really cool cover compilation. Pride in the Name of Love, covered by LP.
Shove rings out in a Memphis sky. Free at last, they took your life. They could not take your pride. In the name of love, one more. In the name of love, in the name of love, one more. In the name of love, in the name of love, one more. In the name of love, in the name of love, one more. In the name of love.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.